Blessed eternal Father, we bless and honor you this evening for bringing us to your presence after our activities for the day. We are grateful to you for this call when it's the prayer meeting, and we are glad to be here the hour of prayer. Thank you for helping us since the beginning of the day, what you have enabled us to accomplish, your cares, your protection, your guidance, your favor, your blessing and help upon us. We are very, very grateful. We are very thankful. We ask their Lord that as we have come to your house, that you cleanse us by your blood, and you will help us to look upon to you, that our hearts, Lord, will be fixed on you. For you said in your word, you live in perfect peace, whose heart is stayed on thee. Help us, eternal Father. Let there be no distraction. May you minister to our needs graciously and give us gracious strength to continue the journey before us. This little time we're going to spend together in the little exaltation and the time of the word, prayer, gracious Lord, we pray that your inspiration will carry us through. Thank you, eternal Father. Those still on their ways, we pray you hasten their steps and bring them here safely so that you can bless us together. Take glory and honor. At the end, Lord, we desire that we will have been blessed according to our expectations and our desires, and according to your promises, to the glory and honor of your name. The sick will be strengthened, the weak, Lord, will receive the grace to say they are strong. Lord, there will be Holy Ghost baptism. Master, the saint will be taken to higher ground. That's the purpose of our gathering, to embed our soul salvation and to visit us to do something that no man can do for us. Thank you, Father. There is no service that is too short. There is no service that is, no matter what type of a service, you are the same. You are never changed. It depends upon our attitude. Help us, eternal Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. God bless you. Welcome ourselves to the prayer meeting. We're going to read from Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, as we continue with our topic. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. I read. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. God bless the reading of his words. God bless you. Can be seated. Yeah, thank you. Thank the Lord for helping us this evening, for bringing us to the house. So, God, I want to just look at a few things more. Responsibilities. Just like Brother Sam said, it's almost an inexhaustible topic. Somebody's going to look at it. Responsibility, because it covers every area as it affects the congregation, it affects the ministers. Responsibility. We have been placed here as mortal men and women, as free moral agents with responsibility for which we are going to account to God. You as a woman, God made you as a woman, the way you live your life, in light of God's word, you're going to give account to God. Whether you are beautiful or you are ugly, whatever, you are going to give account to God. And you are a man, a young man, you are handsome, you are almost the desire of every girl in your school, or maybe even in the church, because it is possible. We are mortals, we are human. There are some sisters that will desire a brother, but they cannot see it. The culture will say, why can they not say it? Are they not human beings? Are they not have right? It's not for a woman to propose. It's for the man to propose. But what such a lady can do is to go to God in prayer. And just lay before God and be praying. If you are a praying type, that's the way God will deal with you. And we'll let you know. If it's your man, he will just settle it for you. You are just resting. If the man travels to UK, he travels to India, he travels to the remotest parts of Nigeria, of the world, he will come back. Did you hear what I said? Because God does not make mistake. And a brother as well, if you are prayed, you are prayed. It's a responsibility, as the prophet made us to know. Choosing of a wife, accepting the choice of a husband. It's a great, in fact, is, as the prophet put it, great responsibility. That whatever decision you take thereafter, you are going to be responsible to God. Not your parents. Not your siblings. Not your ministers. Not the church member will be responsible. You that has taken that decision. You have seen the responsibility. You have taken that decision. You will be responsible before God. And so, the brothers too, you don't gamble. You don't look at the beautiful sister and you just pray suke suke. Because you don't want another brother to go to her. That's carnality. And that is so common today among our brothers. That's why a brother will go through 3, 4, 5 sisters before he finally settles with one. That I do not understand how it happens. Is there no leadership of God again? You are just carnal. Kinimoso. That's the truth. Does God not lead his people? He does. We are talking about responsibilities. God, it is because we have not surrendered ourselves to God. That's why it's like that. God must have a way of talking to you. Praise be to our God. So this evening, we want to follow this up. We will still be coming on that later. Because like I said, responsibility as a topic, the light of the message is almost inexhaustible. The prophet, in the sermon, the voice of God in these last days, preaching 1863, January 20, in the morning. The prophet said, we must live by example before our children. Just like a continuation of last week. I just dropped the first one I said to prepare our mind, to let us see that marriage is a great responsibility that places a lot of demand upon the man and upon the woman. It's not just getting the woman married and then in a year's time, here he's a baby. It's more than that. The continual survivor of your wife, the continual survivor of the baby giving birth to, even your own continual survivor, is a responsibility. It's something that you must sit down and plan with prayer. Because in everything that we face, they don't happen to us suddenly. A baby is not born just suddenly. How many months does it take? 9 months before the baby is born. Why don't misunderstand? We're speaking generally. So whatever we say here, we are speaking generally. Like a pastor will say, if the shoes fit you, then put your feet there. It's your size. So, a baby that is born, you know your wife is pregnant. 9 months, you are expecting the baby. What plan do you have on ground? Both yourself and your wife. We must wake up to our responsibility. Your responsibility is not another person's responsibility. What we enjoy from our associations and brethren is goodwill, brotherly kindness, but it's not compulsory. It depends upon the individual. If you have a baby and nobody gives you money, don't get offended. Just let me drop that. The prophet, many people come to church because they need help. Rather than coming for salvation. They sit in the church, they stay in the church because they continue to get help. Once they don't get help, they find their way. You have not come for salvation. If you have come for salvation, that will be the primary thing. If that is what you have come for, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all of that things shall be added. God will take care of the rest. But that does not mean in laziness. Because he has told us also, there's another responsibility that follows that. An assembly where you fellowship, you have responsibility to that assembly. As a member, you pay your tithe, you pay your offering, you bring your presence to that church in all the services that they hold. Responsibilities. And so, when the baby is born, you're not running later and scatter. It's not supposed to be so. So, and when this baby grows up, then, like we said the other time, there's a great responsibility before us. And the prophet said, we'll live life of examples before them. So let's follow that here. The voice of God in the last days. If a man knows that the child is looking at him, if the woman knows that the child is looking at him, he will be careful what he says. You know, most times in the sermon, in his presence, in the sermon, the prophet said it is when people think God has gone. When they think God has gone, that's when they do evil. In their mind, they think God is not seeing them. That's why they do evil. Now, because what somebody cannot do before everybody, it does in the secret. What is the understanding of that person about God? It is, after all, physically nobody sees me. Maybe it's only God, and God is not going to do anything. Maybe God is not even seeing it. Maybe it's blood as it's covering me.
You are misapplying the word. God's eye sees everywhere. And remember, he does not hear the prayers of a sinner. That's it. If a man plans to do evil, listen closely. If a man plans to do evil, and by virtue of situation is not able to carry out that evil, he's an evil person. He has planned evil. God will judge him by his plans. If such a person does not come to repentance and come to God and say, that evil that I planned to do, even though I didn't have opportunity to carry it out, oh God, forgive me. But because he plans evil, he's not able to execute it. He feels there's nothing about it. You're sitting on a keg of gunpowder. Praise be to God. Alright, 114. Paragraph 114. We will not say much. I mean, before we start opening our mouth, these few minutes, we just... Alright, let's have it. Whichever way. And why we have our heads bowed from the sermon, the voice of God in these last days. And why we have our heads bowed and I trust... our hearts bowed. If you know somewhere that you have disobeyed in your life, know some scripture that you know that's Bible teaching that you haven't cooperated with because something Hollywood voice made you do something different. Some place that you ministers have found a place in the Bible that's actually the truth, but you know your organization will put you out if you taught it. If you thought that, and you know it is absolutely the truth. To you people who take the wrong thing, live the wrong life, you fathers and mothers that are not trying to correct your children, not trying to raise them, you may try your best, and they are going right or wrong anyhow, but you are putting example before them. And if you are not doing it, the voice of God is speaking to you. Don't do that. Let's look at this one. Influence. 63:08-03. From paragraph 15. That's evening. Influence. Evening. 63:08-03. From paragraph 15. Now Uzzah, the king, was a shepherd boy. We know about Uzzah. Uzziah, rather. The king was a shepherd boy. He was a young fellow that a king's son and that loved outdoors, the woods. He liked the woods and he was a herdsman. And he also liked the vineyards. He liked to see things grow. And this young fellow was brought up under real good influence. Amaziah, his father, had been a great man. In his last days, he lay down a little and picked up some goats from another country. And the Lord then took him, taking him out of the earth. But this young fellow had had good influences because his mother was a daughter of Jerusalem. His father a believer. And therefore, the boy had been raised up with good influence. And that's a good way to bring up a child in the way it should go. And you know what? Your children are one of the main eyes that are watching you. Look at what the prophet put it. One of the what? Main eyes that are watching you. You father, you mother, your children are one of the main eyes that God put in your house to be watching you. the words that come out of your mouth to your husband, your reaction to your husband, your attitude to your husband, your attitude to your wife, your reaction to your wife, your action to your wife, your attitude to your wife, anything. Those children are looking at you. They will not talk. They will just be blinking their eyes. Those little, little bright eyes. They'll just be doing as if they did not notice you. They'll be hearing you. And then they'll be blinking their eyes, looking at you. They are recording it. They are one of the main eyes that are watching you. But most times, because they are children, you don't want to care. Most times, I will place wrong influence before those children. I don't wonder many children can say today that, well, they don't think their parents are Christians. Because of the way my father relates with my wife, his wife, with my mommy, and the way my mommy relates with my father. What do you remember? These children come to church, they hear what you hear. They hear what some of them ask questions. Very sorry. It will look personal. Just to draw an example to you, to let you know that even here in the church, they are watching your attitude. Brother, those little children, they watch our attitude. How we talk to ourselves and the rest of you, they watch us. Let me give you an example. Sorry, not to slam on anybody, but it just, as I stood here, it just occurred to me now. That's an example. But it's what all of you witnessed. At one time I was preaching here, and I was mentioning somebody was interpreting for me here, and I was trying to, you know, for you to know that these children, they are watching. So I was trying to confirm whether it was the brother that interpreted for me, that whether that interpretation came before I traveled or something. So a brother was speaking from the congregation. I did not really care much about what he said. But what he said was an indictment to me. Even if anybody listened by that time, it was an indictment. But sincerely speaking, I did not see anything in it. It was about that same week, a brother met me and he told me that his daughter asked him a question about that brother. Now, why is he talking to a minister like that? That brother must be very tough at home. The brother that met me is in the church. The person is hearing me here. Another brother called me to appreciate God for his grace upon me, for not even reacting to that. So it was then I began to say, okay, that means it means a lot to people. Are you getting me now? That little girl that went to her father to ask her father that why is this brother talking to this minister like that? A little girl. What picture do you think that brother has painted before that girl? For that girl to come to her father to tell the father that, oh, why is that man, why is that brother, that daddy talking to the minister like that? He must be tough at home. That is the impression, that is the conclusion about that man in the face of that child. You can't explain it away. The brother displayed something before that child. I didn't mean the brother to talk about anything. Was it talk? We still relate. We are talking about the children are what? The prophet said they are the main eyes that are watching you. When a little thing happens between you and a brother, your reaction. The children around you, they are watching you. If you give them a paper, if we give these children paper and ask them to write independently, they are somewhere else, they are not with their parents, they are not with brothers, write about the members of your church. What do you think about them? They will write what they know. The children don't lie. Kinimoso. They don't lie. They tell the truth about what they know. We started, Bro Sam repeated an example on Sunday, and I confirm it too. That happened to my wife. So it was not a far-fetched story. My wife went to visit that sister. And the sister said, go and tell her, I'm not at home. And the girl came to tell my wife and said, my mommy said, she's not at home. What has she presented before the girl? And then the day we come, the child will do something and we say, what you are doing is wrong. He who calls for equity must come with a clean hands. Before you judge another person, check yourself. That is why Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 7 projected for us. Hey, Matthew chapter 7. Hurry up. I just want everybody to see that we read it straight from here. Judge not that ye be not judged. We are too quick to judge others. We are too fast to judge others. You just see a little situation around a brother, around a sister, you have drawn your conclusion. Not knowing that if the person is a child of God, there are things God will allow to happen in the life of that person. And let me drop it again. I think I've said it before. Anything that happens to a child of God, God knows about it. God has a reason for it and is a trial for you. Your reaction. What you are going to carry your mouth to say. Pastor always says that this mouth is a servant. You can send it where you want to send it. But after you have sent it to where you want to send it, the reward will be waiting for you. Is that not? So, judge not, so that you be not judged. Jesus Christ, our Lord, said it. And the prophet also emphasized. So, the children are what? The main eyes that are looking at us. If you say a little thing that is too hard, don't think your child hasn't heard. And if they want to rehearse, you see them rehearsing. Okay, for you to understand, when you want to know how what happens at home, let those children gather together and be playing. Long ago, they are grown up now, they are big girls now. Two, a girl and a boy, both of them were playing. And the girl said, my husband, come. They were playing in the church here. He said, my husband, come. If the girl is called to the and say, this is what you said to this boy the other time, she's going to laugh very seriously. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, it looks very as if we are joking. But it's not. What we display before them, of course, at home, the sister will call my husband, come and see you. The little girl picked it. If it's the wrong thing, that's how she's going to pick it. And she will display it. Your children are one of the main eyes that are watching you at home. And outsiders are there too, watching you. Responsibility. We have responsibility to project Christ to the people. Not ourselves. Not our ideas, not what we feel. And that is why when it comes to projecting Christ, we take the faults. We accept faults to do what? So that peace can reign. All right, let's continue with this. One of the main eyes that are watching you. They watch what you do. And whatever you do, they copy after you. Because you are setting the example before them. to what you do. And if you project what is wrong, you are wrongly influencing them. And you will give account of it. And if you positively influence them, you get reward for it. Reminds me, here not long ago, I was at a meeting of the Full Gospel businessmen out in Los Angeles. And Brother Roberts had made a statement about something on this line. And they asked me to get up and say something about it, about influencing. I said, it reminds me of a story that I read once, where a man went out Christmas Eve. We've all heard that story. Taking presents through the neighborhood to his neighbors, to the colleagues, neighbors, and on each time where he went to a place, he taking a drink. They will offer him a drink. Oh, thank you for your gift. Please take a drink of wine. I mean, a cup of wine. And it was obliging. He wasn't refusing. He would collect it and sip it down. He would take a drink, and by the time he got all of his present given out, and the one that he had collected on the road back, he thought he could take a shortcut through the park, and he had fallen about 4 or 6 inches of snow. And he found himself, he couldn't walk straight. He was going zigzag because he was being influenced by these drinks. Sometimes I wonder why, of course, I wonder, but I know he's a demon. When a man will drink, he will become like a moron. He will be walking like somebody that does not have spinal cord. He'll be talking like somebody doesn't have sense. He'll be drooling. And tomorrow, he will still go back there. I mean, I grew up with people who drink, who misbehave. My father was one. But by God's grace, before that, I led him to Christ just before I came to the message. The very day that I was to meet the person that was to talk to me about Malachi 4 was the day my father died. So I missed the appointment. So the person and I have been discussing about 2 times. So the third appointment, where he was going to discuss with me about the messenger of the age, that was the time, that was the day my father died. I was working as a petrol attendant at this former Texaco, now MRS at Aliwo. When you're coming from governor's office, you come to NTA. If you know that road, from governor's office, you budget to NTA, you come out to Bere Road. That petrol station there, that was the petrol station where I worked as a petrol attendant. I was, you know, night. I did night. So it was early in the morning that one of my sisters came to tell me about what happened. It was that same morning I had an appointment with that man. So I had to come to my wife, already engaged. I had to call my wife, please let me go to that place. Tell the man, I will not be able to make it. Let him tell you when next we can meet while I travel to Ife. But my wife could not see the man. But as God was going to do it, God linked me with the right source. Thank God that the man that I did not meet the man. Well, thank God. Because God knows his plan for individual. God didn't want me to rigmarole. Because some people will go through that before they will finally come to know the truth. God did not allow me to go through that. Because that should be one of these people that live their hair big. They live their hair long. The man that man showed to me as their minister from Lagos, bushy hair on his head. It was when I came to the message, I began to question that man could not have been a true believer of Malachi 4. The man came from Lalukwan. The man that spoke with him. So, what am I bringing out of this? Is that I think I was saying something I've left it behind. Can somebody remind me of what I was saying? Eh? Yeah, the man that got drunk. I grew up with that. So I know. So when a man is drunk, he's senseless. He will not know where he keeps his money. The key of his house. In fact, he does not know himself. So why will a man, if not because of demon possession, will continue to drink? So the man was drinking, I mean, after that, he became intoxicated. That's what they mean, and he couldn't balance again. So he stepped to go missing. He was staggered, zigzag, walking zigzag, walking zigzag. Because he was being influenced by these drinks. He noticed coming way back behind him, not able to keep up with him, was his teeny little 7-year-old boy. And he was making big steps and falling over and zigzagging. So he waited till the little lad caught up with him. And he said, "What are you walking like that for, son?" He said, "Daddy, I am trying to step in your steps." What you are doing is what I'm trying to do. Though his own, he didn't know the reason why my father was doing that, but he felt that is the way to walk. To be doing that. But the father was under an influence of wine. He wasn't able to walk straight again. Now you see, that's more than just an example. Because it is the truth that your children, you set the pace for them. If you want your child to have respect in the school, to have respect in the neighborhood, it is up to you. When you see a child that does not greet, it is the mother or the father. Is it a child that will just go, you will see people, he will not go like that. Is either the father or the mother? It's like that. Because the children will resemble their parents. So, he is a great responsibility. We influence them. But we don't take notice. Elisha the prophet. 56:10-02. This is the last quotation I want to read. Now, paragraph 56:10-02. 56:10-02, evening. Paragraph 50. Now, look at this little story right here. Read between the lines. I love it, don't you? Between the lines. Why? Look at these little children going out and making fun of this preacher that was boiled. Look what they said to him. "Go up, thou bald head like Elijah, won't you?" They didn't believe that Elijah went up. They doubted it. How did they come to that conclusion? Their parents told them that he didn't go up. He said, "Cook up something." Their parents had them, and them had told them, perhaps, he didn't go up. It is just some fanaticism. And that guy is supposed to be anointed with the same anointing that he was anointed. It is nonsense. Tell him to go up. That's the parent telling the children. That's what it says to those children. That's why the children began to say that. And here went the little kids. Bring up a child in the way that he should go. And here, They went down because the parents didn't believe it. You see, your belief will rub on your children. It will rub on them. Your attitude will rub on them. Your behavior will rub on them. Because they relate with you. You won't be surprised to see that is the way the father thinks. That's the way the daughter will think. That's the way the son will think. And it rubs on the wife too. And then the whole family will be the same way. They think the same way. That would be a good thing if the father has a revelation that is able to influence the wife, is able to influence the children. But if it's the wrong thing, then it's the wrong thing you are passing across to them. When it will happen, is the way the husband sees, that's the way the wife will see. That's the way the children will see it. What a great influence. And here, when the little kids bring up a child, the way it should go, and they went down because the parents didn't believe it. And how can you expect your children to go to Sunday school and serve the law when you yourself don't even go? You see? You'll be an hypocrite. To tell them, like we're reading in Matthew chapter 7. Let's come back there because it blends with this. Judge not that you be not judged. Now you will see what that scripture tells us more. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? You know what? What a mote is? It's just a little speck that's there. You know what a beam is? It's a big log of wood that will be hanging on your eyes and you will not see that. It is the only little speck in the eyes of your brother that you will see. But in your own, you have very big log here hanging on your eye. That's hypocrisy. God doesn't want us to be hypocrites. He wants us to be sincere. He wants us to be truthful. Don't project what you are not. Don't show what you are not. Be yourself. That's when you can be helped. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eyes, and but considering not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thy eye, and behold, the beam is in thy own eye? See, hypocrisy. Thou hypocrite. First, cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly. Which means the beam that is in your eye will not allow you to see very well. It's preventing your proper view. First, cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. God doesn't want us to be hypocrites. And the prophet said that when you have something in your mind and you are saying something with your mouth, the prophet said that's hypocrisy. God doesn't like it. Yoruba man peru yen afi ejesinu tuto funfun jade. That's an hypocrite. He has something in mind, but the something else is saying from his mouth. It's an unconverted nature that does that. Yoruba so pe san laarin aje lo mu ni pekoro san laarin aje lo mu ni pekoro. That's the house of a man that somebody is owing and he doesn't have the money to pay yet. He's going to take corner instead of going straight, and the route to, you know, to where it's going is by the side of the house of the person that is creditor. We look at it. If I pass this place, this man will ask me for this money. I never get the money. We are going and pass long shots to corner. That's the meaning of that. San laarin aje lo mu ni pekoro. It is good to be sincere. Be sincere. That's when you can be helped. When we are sincere, then we can be helped.
But when we are hypocritical, we cannot, God cannot even help us too. Because we have to be, we have to, the Bible says, present things honest before God and before men. That's what the scripture says. How can you expect your children to go to Sunday school and you are not going yourself? Don't even go. How can you expect your children to be something when you are nothing? That's a little sassy, but I don't mean it that way. But he had me to say it. When the prophet says a statement like that, it is needed. He had me to say it. So, this is not premeditated. You see? Alright. But I don't mean you wasn't nothing, but I mean when you know that you make no profession. How can you expect your children to be righteous when you are putting such an example before them? How can you do it? You are the best example that they have. If you are here as a parent, like the case of this Elias, the children of the prophet that talk about Elisha, be careful not to talk about any church member and ridicule a church member before your children. You are killing your children. Don't talk about church member in the presence of your children. Don't say bad things. You can talk good about them, but don't say bad things about them. When you say bad things about them, you are planting seed of discord in the heart of those children, and the opinion you are presenting before them, the word those children will hold about those, because they don't live with them. They will say that is how those people are. And they will react to them like that. And that may give those children spiritual problem tomorrow. They may not be able to shake themselves from it, and it might be a problem to them to overcome, that they may not have spiritual breakthrough. What a responsibility that the parents have. You talk bad about a church member before your children, but we hold you responsible for it. And you see, we are seeing the example here. All right. How can you expect your children to be righteous when you are putting such example before them? How can you do it? You are the best example that they have. You are going to look, they are going to look to you, won't look for no one else, because your nature is in them. Eh? Like Satan, he knows a whole lot about human beings. He said to God, to Job, he said, what will a man give for his king? Sure, he knows something about human nature. He helped pervert it. He knows. He had a hand in it. He was the one that was responsible for the perversion. So the prophet said, he knows human being. He knows a whole lot about it, and he still knows how, what to do to cause people to fall. He knows human nature. And he knows just what to present before you to make you fall for it. He knows just how well to put the smell of whiskey, how tantalizing to make a cigarette, how well to put, to place out here of a young boy and girl just in their teenage, drink beer, and they don't try to place picture of a few years later and look at them and look at them hold batty high hugs. That's right. What the prophet is saying is that those who, the people that they present there that are drinking in the blooms of their youth, that they look fresh and look fine, the prophet said that's the picture that the devil will make them to put it there. He will not go and show you the picture where they are in the hospital suffering from cancer, some from tuberculosis, some from a lung problem, some from one thing. They will not bring that picture there. It is when they start drinking it. That's what they will present. To lure the people. To get them to know that, oh, it's good to drink wine. It's sociable. It's this and that. It is the honorable that drink it. Like the advertisement that they put everywhere. It is a dishonorable man that drinks. A honorable man will not take a cup of it and drink. Christians only take wine once in a month, and that's at the communion. In a social platform that I belong to, one guy is very vocal on the platform. He actually created the platform to bring all of us to. We were colleagues, our first degree class. And so many. He posted something that I just said I was reading. He said, oh, they had a get together and they were to strike a business deal. And he said, they serve them cigarettes, they serve them wine and the rest of it. He said, if he was there, he said, even if he was not drinking, he would collect the cigarette and put it in his mouth. He said, but he would not strike the matches. He said, we put in his mouth. I said, look at this. Well, you don't have a belief because you want to collect business. You are compromising. Oh, ni stand, tele, you don't have a stand. If they require that you strike matches and puff it and let us see the smoke that you are drinking it, you will do it. For the fact that you have gotten to that level that you can do it, you will smoke. If they require to drink the wine there, you say, maybe just a cup. Another time, I will not do it like that. Just for me to get my business. That's what the devil told Jesus and said, just bow down. Just worship me. He just wants now, and you are going to have the entire world. The prophet said the devil knows how to present it in a way that is luring.
Oh, sorry, please. Let me just finish this.
He knows human nature. He knows how to catch you.
Sorry. Yeah. He won't dare to put a picture of a complete nude woman. But he knows just how much clothes to take off of her to make her tempting. Sure, he does. The devil is wicked. He knows. Because the prophet said the woman designs the devil. So he knows where to remove clothes to make it tempting to the sinful man. He will not naked her completely, but he will ask her to, he will influence her to remove her clothes in a little way. That when the man, he flashes before the man, the man's thought way. His mind will disorganize. Not being a Christian. He knows human nature. He knows how to catch you in it. Sure. I mean, too. He is awake day and night, going about like a roaring lion devouring what he will. Certainly he is. So there he knows just how to do that. But God turned around. In Elisha, he caused those children. And 42 of them were killed by bears that run out of the woods and killed 42 of the children because they were disobedient and have been raised in the wrong kind of a home. You see? A home that will talk about another member of a church in a wrong way, in a bad light, is a wrong home. I don't care who the person is in that home. That home is a wrong home. It's a wrong home. What those children hear is a seed that has been sown in their heart until they uproot that seed from their home by themselves, they won't have spiritual progress. Or to challenge their father or their mother that pumped that into them and said that you so wrong this in us about these people. It doesn't matter what happens in a family. It's not your business. Our business is to see problem and to take it up to God in prayer and pray about it. It's not to make it a talking a subject of discussion. We should be our brother's keeper. When you see a home that is having problem, that's not the time that you make it subject of your discussion. You have to be concerned that, oh, it's the devil that is disturbing this family. Then you go to God in prayer and say, God, intervene in this family. Help them. Will you want your own children to face that? Or you want the temptation to come to you that your family will come to that? It's a wrong home. It's a wrong kind of a home. And the wrong schooling. To make fun of God's prophet in the stead of respecting God's prophet. Well, I'm just making it general. God's servants. We are all God's children anointed of God. Because that's what the prophet said. I tell you, as you respect God's servant, you respect God. As you respect Christ, you respect God. Now, who is God's major servant? Not some man here on her. It is the Holy Ghost. And that is the one you make fun of. That's the one that people laugh at. Say, now, look at them. Look at them, people. Don't they act funny? I believe they are a little bit crazy. When you do that, you are making fun of God. That's right. And you will commit the unpardonable sin. It will never be forgiven you in this world when the world will come. For Jesus said, if you speak a word against it, it will never be forgiven. Let me also drop something. It was a physical death to those 42 children. It's a spiritual death now. That's what the prophet said. May God be our help. Influence on the children.
It's a responsibility to be careful. What? Of course, if you are a Christian, you are not going to say bad thing about a person, because the spirit that is inside of you will motivate you. The spirit in us is what motivates us to do what we do. So, that is where you know, in the light of what the prophet says, you now place your life before it and see the type of spirit that motivates you.
Let's bow our heads. I'm sorry. I never knew this would take us this much. But I just decided to make sure that I completed that part. Responsibility. God bless you. Responsibility. We can't run away from it. It's a responsibility. Talk to the Lord. Estray your life. Estray your family. How do you and your husband relate at home? How do you and your wife relate at home? If God was to show us the camera of what takes place in your house, will you take you for a Christian? Will he take you for a Christian? What happened between you and your wife at home? What happened between you and your husband at home? And before your children? Before your daughters? Before your sons? What will we say about you? We conclude that you are a Christian, a wonderful home. Or, what a home this is. Let's reflect on this as we enter the new year. That the Lord will help us to be a noble, loyal, respectful family that will bring honor and glory to God. Your influence in the church environment is also there. If we ask these children about you to write something about you when you are not there, what are they going to say? Would you like to read what they will write about you? Or you will say, yeah, they don't know me, that's why they are writing that. They know you. They know you. They see you. You did what you display. They will not add to it. They don't have much intelligence like that. They will write exactly what they have seen. Let's talk to the Lord. The house of God is a spiritual clinic where we come to be spiritually healed of our bad attitude, of our unbelief, of our doubt in God's word. For a terrible nature, that God might change us and make us what He wants us to be, what His word promises. So that His word might transform and turn our lives around and make us true new creatures. responsibilities. Jesus Christ's name we pray. Yeah, we ask our pastor to come and pray for us. If you want the Lord to help you to be of better example to your children, and the grace of God to work upon you to have right attitude, right behavior, right reaction to your spouse at home, your husband, your wife, you need God's help, you can raise your hand. Well, I ask pastor to.
Our blessed Heavenly Father, we are very grateful to you for making it possible for us to see another midweek. Thank you for bringing us together to sit at your feet. It is true, we do not come to your house to see ourselves. We come to your house to present ourselves unto you, that you might further your work in our lives. Lord, we have heard your word. It has come in diverse ways. It has spoken to us as spirits. It has spoken to us as children. It has spoken to us, O God, even as church members. Heavenly Father, in whichever way, O God, we find ourselves lacking in the way you have inspired your servant to present your word tonight, we come before you. May you forgive us our shortcomings in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us, O God. There is no man in his right senses who will want to do what is right, what is wrong, especially if the word of God has proven it to be wrong. We all want to do what is right. Father, give us grace. Give us the ability that after we have heard your words, we not just do contrary. That when the enemy comes to want to make us to do contrary, O God, you will raise a standard for us to resist the enemy. As you have taught us to resist him, and he will flee. Give us the grace to do it, Lord. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy holy name. Our prophet has taught us, he said, the thing we hear is one thing. He said, but the discernment that we have about what we hear matters. Help us to know what we discuss before our children. Help us to know, O God, what we present before them. Help us to know it is a responsibility for us, O God, to live a life of that we praise them righteously. Help us, Heavenly Father. Master, Savior Divine, if we are not righteous, we cannot present righteousness before them. We pray whichever way we are wrong. If we have not got to your spirit, and we say we have it, forgive us, O God. Fill us with your spirit. Your word says they that are led by your spirit, they are called your children. Help us, Heavenly Father. If a brother is wrong, if a sister is wrong, if anything is wrong anywhere, instead of taking it as a topic, as mockery, anywhere or in our homes, anywhere, may we go on our knees, O God, to know, Father, that there is no man that can help himself, except God help such a one. Lord Jesus, no matter how much the leopard we think, Lord, he cannot change his spots. Come on the scene, Heavenly Father. Help us, Lord. In whichever way we feel condemned by the things that we have heard, may we look unto you for help. Help us, O Father, to do better than what we are doing now. Forgive us, O God, our past failures. Possibly help us to make amendment. If we have done anything wrong, Lord, help us to go back home and say, Lord, forgive us. I tell our family, this is what we have done is wrong. The prophet told us an example about his life one time when he was so troubled about this tax issue which the enemy put on him. Until when the telephone rang and the wife picked it, he said, they might turn it again. He said, tell them, I'm not right here. He ran out, go to the round out the house and came. The wife met him at the door and said, is that the right thing to do? Not quite long, I think a few days or the following day, the telephone rang. Little Joseph picked it. I said, Daddy, want me to tell them you are not here? Your prophet said, what a family would that be? What an influence. Help us, Heavenly Father. Thank you, our Master. Blessed be thy holy name, Lord. We know if we come with a broken heart, you are there to have mercy. Thank you, Father. Take hypocrisy from us. Take anything that doesn't look like you, take it out of our lives. And your prophet said, be a Christian means to be Christ-like. When you were here, you were not hypocritical. Help us, Heavenly Father. Bless your servant and replenish him for the virtue that left him. As we go into prayers, O God, both the written and the existing ones, Heavenly Father, inspire us to pray as expected of us, Lord. Thank you, our Master. If we have anything against anyone, help us, O God. If we want God to forgive us, you have taught us in your word, we have to forgive those that offended us. Thank you, our Master. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.
So, we are grateful to God for bringing us to the end of the service. You believe God has answered your prayers? God will give us testimony to his glory. God bless you. Let's bow on our heads as I hand over to the associate. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for making this gathering tonight possible. We are grateful unto you, Lord, for the worship aspect of the service. We thank you for the preaching of your word. We are grateful unto you for all that you have reminded us of in your word tonight, which Lord, that is the purpose why you allow your prophet to store it there, because we have need of it. The portion that is meant for this evening has gone forth and it has accomplished its purpose, because your word will never return unto you void. We will ask that your spirit will water it day and night in our heart, Lord, so that we may reap the positive benefits of it to the glory of your name. Thank you, dear Father, for the time of prayer, the personal requests that your children have written that were read and we have prayed over, and Lord, the ones we have on the slide that we have committed into your hand again. Lord, we know your prophet have told us that when we really have time to pray is when we, Lord, lock up ourselves in the corner of our room, and Lord, we stay there in your presence that we can pray for longer time. Lord, this one is to fulfill a part of your word. Lord, that when we gather together, we pray together. Lord, we pray, Father God, that you will help us. You give us faith that when we ask, we will know that you have an ear to hear and you have also heard us. We pray, dear God, that you will continue to lift up our faith and Lord, give us expectation to know that the answers to this request, they will surely manifest to the glory of your name because we have asked them according to your word, which is your will. Help us, dear Father, take away doubt and unbelief from every one of us. Lord, we especially commit your children that are sick in their body. Lord, those we know and those we did not know, we pray, dear Father, because you have purchased for us good health on the cross of Calvary, and it is for us to enjoy. The enemy, Lord, which is your enemy and our enemy, goes about like a roaring lion seeking him to devour, afflicting your children here and there. Lord, he is trespassing. We pray, dear God, that you rebuke him, O Father, in the life of your children, O God. May each and every one of us enjoy good and perfect health, Lord, to the glory of your name. Master Jesus, those spiritual requests we have laid before you, may they all be manifested. The physical ones we have laid before you, may they all be manifested. Lord, the world is rounding up and we can see the signs brewing here and there. Lord, drums of war, drums of unrest, and the rest of it, oh God. Lord Jesus, while we are still here, you promise never to leave us, nor to forsake us. May your protection be upon us. Lord, may you watch over your children, dear Father. Every weapons of the enemy, render them useless before us, dear God. May we live in peace, dear Father. We pray, O God of heaven and earth, that you supply all our needs, both spiritually and physically. Grant it, eternal Father. Our people that are far away from here, we have committed them into your hand. That is what we owe each other. May you extend your mercy unto them. May you continue to meet their needs. Keep them safe and secure, dear Father. As you are preparing us here for your coming, prepare them likewise, O God. Your servants, O God, those on the field, may you watch over them. Those planning to travel, may you go with them, dear Father. Lord, their efforts, O God, may not be in vain in the life of your children. Be their strength and their protection. May you inspire and anoint them, dear Father. Thank you, eternal Father. Your servant, we have made yourself tonight for this service. Virtue, no doubt, has left him. We ask you bless and replenish him and recall him and lift up the honor of his ministry. Grant it, dear Father, as we depart to go back to our homes, may you go back home, may you go with us. Watch over us, O living God, and protect us from every evil of the enemy. Give us a wonderful night to rest. To commend the rest of the week into your hand, that your grace will abide with us. Lord, the tape we play on Friday, may you inspire it, O God, may be a blessing unto us. When we gather here on Sunday, if you have not come for us, we ask that you open yet the windows of heaven and pour your blessings upon us. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be your wonderful name for hearing and granting our petitions, because we have asked them all with faith and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. I want to remind us of the announcement we made concerning Sunday. That a minister will be passing our way and is going to take one of our services, the morning service, on Sunday. Let's be in prayers for him and for ourselves that the riches of God's blessings will be our portion. Let's also remember that we are to prepare to give love offering as It's a manner of life and according to the scriptures. May the Lord be our help. The afternoon also, you know, there's a promise that that we launch for everyone. So you may not bring, except a heavy eater, and you envisage that what will be giving you may not be so sufficient, then you can come with a supplement. But if you are an average someone, I believe that what is to be served, we take care of that afternoon. While we pray in advance that the Lord will bless his us. God bless you all. Shall rise. There are some old chorus that I don't know whether some of us know them, but I'll just raise one now. If we know it, then we'll close with that. You know it? Oh, glory to God, he lifted me up. He lifted me up, I know. He reached down his hands and lifted me up. And that's why I love him so. I love him more and more. I love him more and more. And when I stand upon the other shore, I praise him. If you know, you raise up your hand. I want to know if the majority knows it so that we'll. It's a minority. It is a minority that knows it. All right. Maybe some of that time. Sang leaders, take note of it for you yourself, believing you yourself know it. Because if you don't know it, you are going to twist the tune and go east-west. Go east-west. One sang leader that was sang recently, but it was not the tune. One day we'll come and sing the proper tune. That's why we have multiple tunes for some songs. One will go east, the other one will go west. And we'll close with a familiar one. Abraham's blessings are mine.